From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, President Lee Jae-myung and Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi hold the summit in East hometown of Andong, North Gyeongsang Province. Samsung Electronics and its largest labor union continue marathon negotiations to break an impasse over the company's performance-based bonus system. And Iran raises the possibility that the South Korean cargo ship, the HMM Namu, may have been the target of a false flag operation in the Strait of Hormuz. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Cha. President Lee Jae-myung and Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi held a summit meeting in Andong, North Gyeongsang Province, Tuesday. The two leaders began a small group meeting with aides present at a hotel in the southeastern city of Andong at 2:37 p.m., before moving on to an expanded session at 3:12 p.m. In opening remarks, he emphasized the need for closer cooperation between South Korea and Japan, saying that growing global uncertainty and turbulent international conditions made communication and collaboration between allies more important than ever. Takaichi stressed the importance of steadily advancing the positive momentum in bilateral ties, saying the two countries should continue to play a pivotal role in maintaining stability in the Indo-Pacific region. After the talks, the two sides are expected to hold a joint press briefing to announce the outcome of the summit. Samsung Electronics and its largest labor union are continuing marathon negotiations to break an impasse over the tech giant's performance-based bonus system and avert a massive strike planned for Thursday. The two sides enter their second day of last-ditch government-mediated talks at the National Labor Relations Commission in Sejong City on Tuesday. Commission Chairman Park Soo-geun, who is overseeing the negotiations, told reporters that labor and management are narrowing some differences and trying to reach a settlement. The union has said it will go ahead with an 18-day strike unless management agrees to set bonuses at 15% of operating profit, abolish the payout cap, and standardize the bonus system. Negotiations are scheduled to end at 7 p.m., but may run later, possibly continuing on Wednesday if both sides agree. Samsung Electronics' labor union's planned 18-day strike could shave up to 0.5 percentage points off the nation's economic growth this year, according to an analysis by the central bank. The Bank of Korea recently presented its analysis on the situation in a private report to relevant ministries, including the Ministry of Finance and Economy. The report estimated that semiconductor production disruptions could cause losses of around 30 trillion won, or roughly 19.9 billion U.S. dollars, considering that it takes about 3 weeks to recover after memory chip lines are suspended. The company's labor union has planned a general strike involving about 50,000 workers that is set to begin on Thursday and run until June 7th. In February, the BOK projected 2% growth for this year and was expected to raise its forecast in its revised outlook set to be released next week. Iran has reportedly raised the possibility that the South Korean-operated HMM Namu cargo ship was the target of a false flag operation in the Strait of Hormuz earlier this month. Esmail Baghai, the spokesperson for Iran's foreign ministry, was quoted in Iranian media outlets such as the Student News Network and Press TV as saying in a news conference on Monday that Iran was wondering who'd carried out the attack. Baghai reportedly recalled the recent phone call between Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi and South Korean Foreign Minister Cho Yun, saying Araghchi had told Cho it remained unclear who was responsible for the explosion and fire aboard the Namu. Baghai warned all nations to beware of certain forces in the area that he said spare no effort to escalate insecurity, according to Press TV, and suggested the attack may have been a false flag. A false flag is a tactic in which an attack is staged to make another actor appear responsible. A delegation from North Korea has toured a drone operator training facility in Russia's far eastern Amur region. Citing local authorities Monday, the Seoul-based publication NK News said the group from South Pyongan province visited the Center for Drone Competencies in Belogorsk on Friday and received a briefing on drone development and uses for drones in the military and agriculture. Established in 2023, the center reportedly trains Russian forces fighting in the war against Ukraine. The delegation reportedly observed drone operations and paid special attention to training specialists in the operation of unmanned systems and developing educational programs for young people. Ukraine previously alleged that Russia helped the North set up production facilities for Garand drones, Russia's version of Iran's Shahed drones, and train North Korean drone operators. A new report shows that many South Koreans are feeling the economic impact of the prolonged war in the Middle East and have reduced non-essential spending, such as eating out and traveling, due to rising prices. The Korea Press Foundation's Media Research Center on Tuesday published the results of a nationwide survey it conducted last month on people's perceptions of the economic situation amid the war. Of the 1,000 adults ages 20 to 69 who were surveyed, 77.8% said they were exposed to information about the war and experienced anxiety as a result. When asked what caused their anxiety, 96.6% cited concerns about rising prices, including oil prices, and 94.2% cited an intensifying economic recession. The foundation found that fewer respondents, 67.4%, cited concerns about South Korea's defense and security situation, indicating that the war is perceived as an economic problem rather than a military one, while 88.2% of respondents said they feel the weight of the rising cost of living, and 72.8% said their consumer lives were affected. South Korea added 221,000 new wage-earning jobs in the fourth quarter of 2025 compared to a year earlier, but youth employment declined, the latest jobs data showed Tuesday. According to the Ministry of Data and Statistics, the number of paid employee positions stood at over 21.1 million as of November. Part of the increase was driven by the health, social, and welfare sectors, which added 126,000 jobs, while the construction sector shed 88,000 jobs. The data also showed that 73.4% of the employees retained existing jobs, while 15.5% filled vacancies that opened up due to retirement and turnover, and 11.2% filled jobs added through business expansions or the creation of new businesses. The number of jobs for people in their 20s and younger dropped by 111,000, mainly in the manufacturing, construction, and information and communication sector, while youth employment has recorded negative growth for 13 consecutive quarters. Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Gu Yun-chul has addressed global investors at the year's third overseas meeting to promote South Korea's capabilities in artificial intelligence, semiconductors, high-bandwidth memory, and secondary batteries. Gu led the latest meeting in London on Monday local time, attended by around 20 senior executives from 17 leading financial companies, including BlackRock Inc., J.P. Morgan Asset Management, and BNP Paribas. At the session, the minister said the so-called Korea discount is an outdated term and the Korea premium is the new reality, stressing that now is the golden time to invest in South Korea. Gu said the country has introduced measures to improve corporate governance and better protect shareholder interests while pushing for investor-friendly tax reforms. He also talked about plans to lower barriers for foreign investors, such as by operating the foreign exchange market around the clock. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index plunged 244.38 points, or 3.25% on Tuesday, to close at 7,271.66. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ lost 26.73 points, or 2.41%, to close at 1,084.36. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.